grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
If you're at all like me, you probably don't remember very much about conversations that took place this last week, let alone last year or many years ago. But I do still remember a conversation that took place now more than 40 years ago. Some friends of mine were talking about the sad fate of a mutual friend who'd come to a bad end. One fateful decision had set in motion a whole chain of events that led straight to spiritual ruin. I'll never forget what an older and wiser friend then said of this unfortunate man. "So now you see the consequences of a choice." Those words had a chilling effect on me then, and they still do today. So now you see the consequences of a choice. In the gospel just read, we hear about the consequences of a choice. This gospel reading takes us back to the first Palm Sunday. Procession approaches the city of Jerusalem. And then as Jesus comes in sight of the city, he bursts into tears. Because amid the hosannas and shouts of joy and waving of the palm branches, Jesus foresees the terrible fate that awaits the city. When he then cleanses the temple, the leaders of the people become determined to get rid of him as a threat to their power, their plans, and their ill-gotten gain. But the people's loyalty to Jesus keeps these leaders from doing anything right away. But within less than a week, the people's loyalty turns to hatred, and prompted by their leaders, they cry out for Jesus' death. In some deep sense, the people's choice is made when Jesus stands before the Roman governor. Observing the custom of releasing one prisoner at the great Jewish feast of the Passover, Pilate gives the people a choice, and what a choice it was, a choice between Jesus and a man named Barabbas, who St. Luke tells us had been thrown into prison for armed rebellion and for murder. In other words, Barabbas was a first century Palestinian terrorist. But the people, swayed by their hate-filled leaders, choose Barabbas. In choosing him, they reject God's true Messiah, come to lead them into the way of perfect peace with God and with one another. St. Paul says, Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Through him alone, through his cross and resurrection, there is peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. But in choosing Barabbas, the people choose the way of vengeance and blood. And in little more than 30 years, Their choice had terrible consequences. Like Barabbas, they rose up against their Roman masters, only to bring down on themselves the terrible might of the Roman legions. And as the Lord Jesus foresaw, their city becomes a heap of ruins, its inhabitants destroyed by fire and sword. So now you see the consequences of a choice. It was one of the ancient church fathers who said, "That heart is hard, which will not be softened by benefits, terrified by threats, nor moved by promises." And the heart of Jerusalem proved to be a hard heart. For although down through the centuries God again and again and again sent his servants, the prophets, to call them to repentance, they again and again and again chose to ignore that call. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday, the prophet Jeremiah cries out, "Why has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return." In this sad history, we see the hardening effect of repeatedly choosing against God. Because every such choice makes it easier to do the same thing the next time. Bad habits are easily acquired. And as we all know, bad habits are very hard to break until there finally comes that moment known only to God, when the sinner is completely blind. "If you had known," says Jesus, "even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." So choices matter. Choices have consequences. So what shall we do then? Just 3 points. First of all, we need to remember that we sin not only by what we choose to do, we also sin in what we choose not to do, and that's a point well worth remembering when we examine our consciences. The second thing is that we must take responsibility for any choice made against God's known will, and repenting of it, say with all our heart, "Yes, what I did or what I didn't do was simply wrong. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he will be merciful because he is the Lord who, as we prayed in the appointed prayer for this Sunday, declares his almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. And the third thing, and perhaps the most difficult of all, is to accept humbly and without complaint the often painful consequences of sinful choices. On the one hand, we are truly, freely, and fully forgiven when we repent and turn to Christ. As St. Paul writes, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, there are often painful consequences to be endured for choices we have made. One example of that is a husband or a wife who chooses to commit adultery may have to endure the collapse of that marriage. The person who lies all the time, or the person who's known to be a vicious gossip, may have to endure months and even years of a certain loneliness caused by people's natural reluctance to become involved with somebody who's repeatedly proven to be untrustworthy. So let me say it again, one measure of the sincerity of our repentance is the willingness to bear humbly and without complaint the painful consequences of sinful choices now forgiven. Choices matter. Choices have consequences. But far more important than any choice of ours is God's choice of us. God chose to create you out of love. God chose to restore and forgive you at the cost of his own blood. God chose to claim you as his own through baptism. And he promises by his mercy to bring you to the heavenly kingdom he chose to prepare for you before the foundation of the world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now, having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible.